It's the Financial Forum with Ross Jalbert.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in today. And with me today is Joe Waltenbaugh, true professional and a member of the Jalbert team, Michigan's only award-winning financial show. We're here to bring you financial security in any economy. Stay with us and gain peace of mind. Today, we're going to talk about what questions have been requested. In the past several workshops that we've done, we've had our attendees write down their questions. We're going to address those on the air today. We're going to talk about stress testing your portfolio. That is really important. What do we mean by it? We're going to also do an interview with David Littman, who's going to tell us where we are and where we're headed. So we've got a lot on the plate. Stay tuned, and we will be right back.
You've got the Financial Forum on News Talk 760 WJR. Remember the number, 877-807-7233. Now, here's the Dean of Financial Planning, Russ Jalbert.
Stress testing your portfolio. What do we mean by that? Well, I think it probably makes kind of sense. Stress testing your portfolio. Banks do stress testing to see if, in fact, they have enough reserves to be able to get through tough times. Well, that's really what we're talking about here, getting through tough times. What is on the horizon? What may come? Well, we don't know. We have an opportunity to actually take events of the past or the future, as we would create them, and insert them into your portfolio and recreate what would happen, for example, if 2008 happened again. So with me today is Joe Waltenbaugh. Hi, Joe.
Great to be here, Ross. How's it
going?
You
bet. And it's fine, and it's good to have you here, Joe. I want you to be able to tell our people about the stress test. Joe is one of the heads of our investment team, and he's here, and he can really tell us exactly what we mean by this.
Yeah, thanks, Russ. This is a pretty unique tool that we have access to at our office, and something that, quite frankly, has become very popular with a number of our clients. And the stress testing is something that we can tell people, we think you're too risky, you have too much money in equities, too much money in large cap stocks, whatever we want to say, but that doesn't really mean much until we show them what actually happens if we relive 2008, or if we relive 2000, or if we relive a bull run in the 90s. What does it mean?
Yeah, and I was even thinking as we look ahead, I was reading through the list yesterday of options that we have.
Mm-hmm.
What if, in fact, we have deflation?
Right.
What if Europe and Germany were to suffer deflation? And we can take about anything on the planet Earth,
mm-hmm,
and create it, and then say, what happens in your portfolio? I find this personally fascinating.
Well, the reason I think it's so fascinating is because we can actually take your personal concerns, whatever they may be, and plug them into your portfolio and show you, okay, you're concerned about deflation, or you're concerned about what's going on in Europe, or you're concerned about this, and we can take that exact variable, plug it into your current portfolio, all of your current holdings, and show you what will happen.
And so one of the things it's going to show is, for example, if in fact we had something happen like, let's just say, 2008,
mm-hmm,
we'll actually be able to show how much loss this portfolio would take.
Yes. I mean, we did it. We were just playing around with it in the office the other day with some portfolios we built, you know, that we thought were pretty strong, but heavily equities-based, you know, trying to grow a portfolio. We plugged it into the 2008 scenario, and we were down 61%.
Well,
now, we know what happened in 2008, but what we then did was took some of the managed strategies that we utilize in our office and plugged those in to 2008. We're seeing single-digit losses.
So if, in fact, I, as one of your clients, I came in and I brought my statement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not something that you could present to me that day, but I would leave my statement. Now, then you would run this stress test.
Absolutely.
Now, you've only talked about 2008, but the fact of the matter is you could run 2, 3, 4, 5 different scenarios and show somebody what would happen in each one, and then show it compared to what we would have in our portfolio,
mm-hmm,
and they can literally identify what they want to do, I guess.
Yeah,
really.
And like you said, we have access to, we call them kind of, they're pre-built scenarios. There's about 50 of them. And the 2008, what happened, we can look at the what happened in 2000, or, we have pre-built scenarios, but then we also can completely tailor something for you. So We like to gather from you what are your, as a client, what are your biggest concerns. We'll take those concerns, take your statements, and actually plug those concerns into your current portfolio. Then from there, we can present to you in that next meeting, okay, here's your current holdings, here's what would happen in scenario 1, 2, 3, and 4, and here's our recommended portfolio for you. Here's what would have happened if you had this portfolio during those same variables.
You know, most of the people that come to our office, they come in and they have, I call them vanilla portfolios of all kinds of mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some percentage in stocks and then some. It's your typical asset allocation stuff that we've seen 30 years ago, frankly.
Right.
And so you're able to bring, I think, modern information to an individual. This is the greatest thing I think I've ever seen in the industry. This is a very sophisticated piece of software.
It is. And for our clients, what it allows them to see is, you know, our goal generally is to just reduce the risk for our clients. And what would have happened in 2008, we want to reduce that risk today, because we, you know, we're all kind of concerned that something may be on the horizon.
Well, we're going to be talking about forecasting a little later in the show,
right?
But the fact of the matter is, we've gone a long time without a correction.
Exactly.
And but if you're a retiree, you're going to be in retirement for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Something's going to happen in that period of time. You do want to be prepared.
Right. We're going to be able to show you, we are probably going to have some kind of correction in your retirement. But if you do have that correction, we want you in this portfolio because this is what you're going to see. Rather than a 40% loss, maybe we can limit you to an 8%, 9% loss.
Just very quickly, how often is this portfolio reviewed?
Oh, every day.
And that's what's really special for our listeners to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, this is an actively managed portfolio, not of mutual funds, I don't believe.
No, the portfolios that we utilize for our clients are daily managed. They're a mix of stocks, bonds, cash, real estate. No mutual funds are used, so there's no hidden costs or fees. It's a portfolio basically tailored for your risk.
You charge
balance.
A management fee that
yep.
varies on the amount of money. Well, Joe, this is a really special opportunity for our clients, and we're going to encourage you to give us a call at 877-807-7233 and find out how you can have a stress test. One final thing here, I do want to mention, this coming Wednesday, it's the 15th, we have a workshop that's going to be held at the Troy Marriott, 5:30 to 7:30. Come on, sign up. We've got a few spots left. Safety-proofing your retirement, developing a secure lifetime income, some Social Security stuff. Got a lot of information for you. We'd love to have you there, so call to reserve your space. Again, that's 877-807-7233. Hang in there. We're going to be right back and talk about your questions.
It's the Financial Forum on News Talk 760 WJR. Call the Jalbert Financial Group at 877-807-7233. You've seen or heard him on virtually every network, radio, and TV, Russ Jalbert.
You know, we've been serving Metro Detroit for over 40 years. At Jalbert, Michigan Secure Retirement Specialist, we're experienced, we're independent, we put you first, and we have trained and knowledgeable people. We're here for you. What we want to talk about now are your questions, the questions that you have told us that are on your mind, and these are questions that we have picked up from our workshop for the past, I think, 5 workshops,
mm-hmm.
and over the weekend, tallied them up, and who came in first, second, third, and frankly, Joe, we have a tie for first, we have a tie for second.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to just kind of take them one at a time as we have them here. And the biggest question really came out to be, you know, what are my investment choices as I enter retirement? And I thought, oh, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any...
Yeah, I think this is, I mean, I wasn't surprised that this came out at the top kind of the list. I mean, we ask every attendee to fill out this questionnaire and, you know, what are your biggest concerns? And this one does always come up. I think it's because when you enter retirement, a lot of individuals, and we talk about this on our show, but it's a different phase of your life. So I think a lot of individuals want to know, you know, what's different? What else is out there? It's not the accumulation phase anymore. What do I do that's different now that I'm entering retirement? And, you know, your choices are still pretty broad. You can still invest in the market like you maybe did when you were younger with different investment, you know, in allocations inside of that. But we look to some other places, I think more importantly, when you're entering retirement for safety.
Well, you know, you talk about this, and I want to come back and just reaffirm it. You say when you are entering or when you are in this accumulation phase, because during your years of working, while you're making money and adding money, mm-hmm. we don't really care if an individual loses perhaps a little bit in a particular year because you have more money to come in there.
Right.
But in we call it the distribution phase. And, you know, another word for it, and I heard this the other day, was in the decumulation phase.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because this is the phase in which you're looking for this pile of money that you've put together to give you an income for the rest of your life. And we think there's probably just three choices that an individual has.
Yep, I would say that, you know, we look for safety a lot when we look at this distribution or decumulation phase, and you really look to banks and insurance companies for that safety. Now, mm-hmm. banks right now, those are really the first two options. And banks, we know what they're returning, less than 0.5% or 1%. And that's not really a place where you're going to be able to outpace inflation.
No, it's not. But some people say, you know what, I'd rather not make any money and keep my principal mm-hmm. rather than risk my money.
Right.
And if you have confidence in the banks and that's where you want to be, that is a choice.
It is absolutely a choice. We would also say, to parallel that, though, the insurance companies have similar levels, if not the same level, of guarantees on some of your money, and you have the opportunity to earn significantly more than the bank.
Well, that's an important, I think, eye-opener for people to know about. The insurance companies have similar safety,
mm-hmm.
yet I can make more.
Right.
And one of the things that you may not know is that insurance companies do not pay income tax. Insurance companies do not pay any income taxes. And do you understand why, or can you tell our listeners?
Yeah, it's actually a neat little story. So back in 1929, when obviously we know what happened with the markets crashing, the FDR was president at the time. He went to, rather than going to, he actually went to insurance companies to bail out.
As opposed to the government.
As opposed to the government to bail out the banks.
Hmm.
And when he did this, the insurance companies had a pile of money at the time. They weren't losing anything. They were protecting principal and earning. He went to them and said, if you bail us out, loan us hundreds of millions of dollars, I will basically write in a provision that will grant you the right to never pay taxes for the rest of your life.
Yeah, for the rest of your life. Forever.
Yep.
And today, here we are many years later, and insurance companies don't pay income tax. They have the ability to pay a larger sum. Now, some people, this is a little bit off the topic here, but they say, okay, look, what if, in fact, the insurance company goes away?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is that's really not an issue, is it?
No. You've got so many levels behind an insurance company, whether it's the reinsurance companies that back them up.
Reinsurance companies. Companies, some of the big companies out here, they have reinsurance contracts with other companies. That is essentially a contract with other companies in which they say, I've got your back.
Right.
We've got your back, you've got our back. So it's not just the one company. You've got several.
Right. There's several behind the scenes that are saying, look, we've got you if something happens.
Yeah.
And then there's the fact of the matter is they have to keep more than a dollar for every dollar on hand that you have with them, unlike a bank. So their liquidity and the amount of money they keep on hand is the greatest in the industry.
Let me just go on with that. A bank, if you bring $100,000 to, let's say, Comerica, they can take that to the Federal Reserve and borrow $900,000.
Mm-hmm.
So they now have $1 million. That's an incredible amount of leverage at which they loan that out at 5-6%?
Yep.
And anyway, that's how they make money. Insurance companies are forbidden to do that. They have
right.
to keep that money on hand. It's in government bonds or investment-grade securities. Investment-grade securities are companies that may have, you know, leases with Fortune 500 companies. I mean, these are really safe. And in the history of the insurance business, no company has ever defaulted. I think they have come back, and no one has ever not received their
payment or their
yeah,
or
yeah.
their or the proceeds from a contract, right?
And then somebody says, yeah, but, well, listen, if in fact you're the insurance industry and you've been around for 150 years If, in fact, you're having some, if you know of a company having financial trouble, you're going to buy them rather than let them go out. Because if they went out of business, your credibility is hurt, not just theirs. So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. They want to protect themselves.
Absolutely. And this has happened a little bit in the past. Someone buys another company, but nothing has really negatively gone on past that. And that really, you know, outside of the bank and the insurance company, really the last option here real quick on your investment choices would be obviously the market in a brokerage account. But we would structure it so much differently in this decumulation phase than we would have if you were accumulating assets.
Well, you know, I might ask you then, Joe, you know, all right, you have banks, and I think you'd probably say, you know what, for banks, that's okay for the cash that you might need over the next few years,
mm-hmm.
Like 3 to 5.
Yep.
And then for that stable portion and the brokerage portion, kind of explain that before we come up to break here.
Sure. So we've got that stable portion. We'd look to create some kind of an income for you, some kind of a pension with a foundational asset. And we'd look to an insurance company for that.
A foundational asset, you say?
Yeah. So we want to look at something that will cover, guarantee to cover your fixed expenses through retirement. So if you've got bills that you know you're going to have, health care, mortgage, rent, whatever, we want to make sure we cover all of those fixed expenses for the rest of your life,
mm-hmm.
and we'll utilize different tools that we have from insurance companies that can create a guaranteed income for you. Once we've tackled that, it's the last piece with money that's left over, we'll look to the market to earn to outpace inflation. But it will be structured in a way that will keep you really low risk as well.
Well, I guess just to kind of go in here, so here you might use one of this institutional money management,
mm-hmm.
you talked about. We didn't use that word in the first segment, but this is where you would use your, what you call it, your private asset manager.
Right.
And the private asset manager is somebody that, not using mutual funds, they look at it every day.
Right.
And I think they have a pretty good track record, do they not?
Yeah, they earned just over 1% in 2008, so that's not that bad.
And that's a real important item. In 2008, they did not lose money. It's not to say that they will not lose money going forward, but we shop for a money manager based upon how do they do in the worst of times. In
right.
the worst of times, they did very well. Listen, we want to remind everybody that this coming Wednesday at the Troy Marriott, we have a workshop, and we're going to talk about this stuff. It's at 5:30 till 7:30. Wednesday, Troy Marriott. Come on by, call us to sign up, and we'll get you a seat. Seating is limited, and I'm not certain how many seats we have left, but call us at 877-807-7233, or you can go online at Gelbert Financial and sign up. So coming up in the next segment is David Littman. We're going to ask David what he sees and what he sees going forward. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
It's the Financial Forum on WJR, 877-807-7233. He's the Certified Financial Planner, Russ Gelbert.
Okay, we're back, everybody. Russ Gelbert here. You're listening to the Financial Forum. And here we are simplifying information. I know that you're bombarded with information, but we're here to take that information and put it into some form of clarity so that you can make wise choices to help you become better informed and to help you be successful, if you will, in any economy. And one of those people, if you will, that help us in this is to talk with David Littman. David has been a guest on this program actually for several years, and David has been uncanny, and is that right, Joe? Uncannily? He's been uncannily very, very accurate in
yeah.
what he's had to say. And so we have with us today the former head of economics at Comerica Bank. He was involved with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, and we're fortunate to have David with us today. So hello, David Littman. How are you?
Hi, Russ. Great to be with you again.
Thanks so much, David. You know, I think the last time we had you on the radio here, and it was just a few months ago, and you made some mention that you thought that as we headed to the end of this year that we were going to see some turmoil. Well, I think we have a little bit of turmoil going on out here. So go ahead and tell us what, in fact, I guess, why don't we talk about some of the turmoil that actually is going on? That may be a good place to start here.
Well, we can see around the world, forget about the military for a moment, but you can see the economies, the fundamental economies in the Eurozone are in recession, especially the large engines of growth, traditionally with the German economy. The French are kind of broke. And then there's nothing going on in the entire continent of South America. It's in political and economic turmoil. My concern, however, is the U.S. economy. It's operating at significantly lower than normal growth rate levels, and although there is growth and there is wealth formation, the subpar performance of full-time employment, the overall retrenchment in our buying power in most of the American households, this proliferation of tax hikes, out-of-control government spending, counterproductive, costly regulations, these are distorting the traditional engines of prosperity here and leaving the economy more vulnerable as we proceed through this year into next year.
You know, you talk about, you say, they are distorting the normal engines of the economy. And one of those, of course, would probably be the stock market, in that with our low interest rates, that the stock market is continuing up. It seems every time that the Fed meets and there's a possibility of interest rates going higher, we see a market drop.
Well, that's right. But we've gotten into this very ironic situation where, because of things like, despite the administration's promise that we'd have a Keystone Pipeline go ahead, a green light, or at least a decision made back in May at the latest, we haven't seen that. So we deprive the economy of the high-paying, full-time jobs, exports, and everything else that has given North Dakota, for example, a superb growth rate in its state economy and wealth and jobs and income.
Don't they have like a zero unemployment rate there, something like that?
Yeah. Well, it's been the top. Even 3 years ago, it was like 3%. Now it's dropped below that into the 2%, which is more than full employment. They attract population. And I say that the best track record of any state for 3 or 4 years that exists in the United States. So they should be a paradigm of growth and policy. Instead, it's really out of the radar sights of federal policymakers. It is a crime.
Well, you know, here we have all this stuff going on in the world. We're producing a lot of energy, which we could export, and it boggles my mind that our government isn't saying we need to get independent of these Arab countries that are holding us hostage, if you will, and we could do it, but we have a leader who is not permitting us to drill on federal lands. He's keeping the pipeline back. It's hard to understand it, David.
Well, it isn't if you put the logic together and are willing to tell the truth about it, and that is, we have a president and an administration that is philosophically allied with the forces of socialism, and in the past would say communism, but I don't care about that. They're in favor of a centralized, elitist type of government instead of a market economy, and that's all you need to know. Until that we're rid of that, our economy will never get back to its 4% traditional trend growth rate.
So you're saying that over the next 2.5 years, we're not going to see a 4% growth rate?
Not a chance in the world.
Wow.
Well, no, it's interesting to hear that. I know we've heard some individuals kind of just through the media talk about maybe we're going to see a correction hold out until after the election, so maybe another month or so. What are your thoughts on a timeline with any of that?
I can't tell you the specifics. Now, what they've done, the irony is with all these tax hikes and regulations, you can't get the economy growing fast enough to really cause the kind of inflation and serious bottlenecks and shortages in the production process that would cause the Federal Reserve to raise rates. So as long as the rates remain low, you can see just what you mentioned earlier, that any threat that the Federal Reserve might actually do the right thing and even a smidgen raise the rates causes the stock market to collapse. So they don't do that. They keep postponing that day of reckoning. But in the meantime, as I said earlier also, it creates greater distortions. And when we do get a recession, it'll be a much more severe recession.
Well, I would think then, with what you're saying, that there's very little chance that we're going to see a rate increase, certainly, or anything going that could disrupt the upcoming election.
They've postponed it for 3 years, mostly because of elections, and they'll do it again. The time we're going to get it is when it's clear that the existing forces and powers in Washington policymaking see their end of days, And at that point, they'll say, okay, we'll let the whoever's the incoming political people take the rap for a new recession, a very steep one, and so on, and show everybody for the next time around that when we regain power, that the Republicans, for example, can't control the economic well-being of the nation. So I think everything is centered around politics, and therefore, I think they'll keep this economy on life support pretty much through the rest of the year, barring any international catastrophe.
Well, so as we head into to next year, you see very little change, which means that we're probably going to continue to see volatility in the market, the up and downs that we've seen, or do you see it just continuing to go up?
No, I think it'll go up very slowly, but we're getting closer and closer to that traditional zero growth situation, so it takes very little to spill us over, as we saw in the first quarter of this year, into a negative situation that nobody expected.
Dave, do you feel that when we head into recession, is it going to be something that's typical, that the recession we might head into is going to be maybe 6 months or a year? Do you see long-term issue?
That's a very good question, Russ, and I think it's the latter, because it takes only 2 years traditionally, once you enter even a shallow recession, for the debt to double. Now, can you imagine what debt would do at this point if it doubles? Oh. That would be the end of growth as we've known it.
Well, what if, in fact, interest rates go up?
Same thing. If interest rates go up, if they haven't reduced spending and cut back on the debt, you have essentially the service of our debt because of the interest rates to pay off on the treasuries. You're going from about $250 billion a year to $800 billion a year. I mean, it absorbs the whole budget.
Wow. Well, David Lippman, I'll tell you, you do not paint a very good picture as we go into next year, but I know that you're painting a picture that you articulate from the voice of truth. This is not political. This is David Lippman, a very credible source, and we appreciate having you on the Jalbert Financial Forum today. I want to wish you all the best to you and your family, and thank you very much. And you know what, Dave, we may touch base as we head into the end of the year, but until then, take care of yourself.
Thanks, David.
You're the same, and thank you, Russ, thank you, Joe.
Hi, David.
All right.
That was David Lippman, who was here to talk about what's going on this year. And what we have going on is we have trouble in River City, I think is what we would say, Joe.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen certainly up until the election, probably not too much to the end of the year. But when recession does come, we have long-term issues. Wow. When we come back, I want to talk about not just the three mistakes that investors make over and over again, but just one of them. And one of them is trying to forecast what to expect next. Joe and I are going to talk about the risks of guessing. So hang in there, and we're going to be right back.
You've got the Financial Forum on News Talk 760 WJR. 877-807-7233. He's your best-selling financial author, Russ Jalbert.
You know, speaking with David Lippman is always a pleasure. And quite frankly, I really love doing this show because, frankly, it keeps me on my toes. It helps me to stay forecast on what I do for a living. You know, you can't take anything for granted. Change is expected, and we have to be ready to make changes as change comes to us. You know, we have to build strategies that can provide our listeners, that can provide our clients certainty under any circumstances. You know, we pledge that we don't make people rich, but we'll work very hard that they'll never be poor because of working with Jalbert. We don't make people rich. We help you avoid becoming poor. And that's really what we're about. Right now, I want to talk about forecasting. You know, you got a lot of people, Joe, who are saying, I predict this, I predict that. And we have a lot of people recently who are normally very negative on the market who are starting to reverse themselves and say, well, maybe it's going to be positive. People ask me all the time, what do you see going forward? And I go, gosh, it's so hard to tell.
It's so hard to tell, and you don't know. I mean, if you talked, like you just said, I mean, we see reports from a number of people saying, you know, something positive 6 months ago that now flipped negative. People that were negative and bearish 6 months ago are flipping positive. I don't think a lot of people, and nobody knows, right? And that really leads to the topic of forecasting, which I think we're going to get into.
Yeah, we are. You know, I'm thinking that somebody asked me the other day, they said, look, you know, can I ask you a couple questions? And then I thought, okay, I bet this is going to be it. You know, where's the market going to go? And so I said to the guy, I said, look, whether you think President Obama is a good president or not, but do you think that if, in fact, he knew what he could do to get this thing over with and done in a really good, solid economy, he would do it? And what about Mitt Romney? You know, I know he didn't make president, but if he had, do you think he would have the idea? How about Ben Bernanke? You know, if he could have fixed our economy without putting billions and billions of dollars in it, do you think he would have? And how about the leaders of Japan and Europe and China? I mean, can they repair their economies? Well, I don't think so. Well, what do you think I can do for it? You know, how can I explain? The fact is, we got a lot of guessing going on.
There's a lot. And an interesting article, which we alluded to before, their main focus was that pretty much the largest mistake that investors make is trying to forecast what the stock market will do next. And if you think about it, it's what every single client or prospect that comes into our office kind of wants to know that answer. And it's the one that we really just don't know. And they're always asking, you know, where's the market headed? Is it going to crash? If so, when? And, you know, you have no control over what the market will do next. That's just the fact of the matter. You do have complete control over how you react to whatever it does. And that's kind of, I think, the mentality that you have to have when you're investing.
Well, you know, you just say it. You have, if in fact you don't have to react, I mean, there probably is some way that, since we're operating in a world where the market seems to be going up, but it's been going up for a long time, is there some way, if you're a retiree, that you would suggest that I invest? I guess that's really what I don't want to put it all in the bank.
Right, and that's really what it comes down to. I think we've had this conversation kind of off the record, too, is that because of the level of unknowns and the fact that we just don't know, there's a huge level of importance in actually just safety-proofing your money and actually not having it be a part of an unknown. So that's when we would look to, you know, we talked about the question of where can you put your money as a retiree, and we talked about the banks a little bit, we talked about insurance companies, and then we talked about the market. But if you want to take the risk and the level of uncertainty out of your portfolio, at least for a portion of it, we would look to, you know, different contracts or tools within insurance companies where we can guarantee a certain stream of income for you and have it guaranteed for the rest of your life.
So essentially what you would do is this. You're going to ask the client, we'll say that's me, you're going to ask me to tell you what are my fixed expenses, right? And we're going to call those essential. What are my essential expenses that when I retire, I'm going to continue to have these bills? Your car may be paid off, your home may be paid off, but you're going to continue to have bills. In addition to that, you're going to have to plan on inflation.
Right.
So at some point, you're going to have to invade your money. It's either immediately or, let's say, in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that I would pose to me, I guess, would be, do I want that money invested where when I need to get it, it could be less than what I put in right now?
No.
And I don't think so. And that's really the premise of what separates Jalbert from, I think, brokers.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
Yeah. You know, in the brokerage world, the goal is, even, you know, they kind of use a similar mentality in the accumulation and distribution phase, but their goal is, all right, we've got a pile of money. Maybe we're not as aggressive as we once were, but let's just grow it and take a withdrawal from it. Each year we'll take a withdrawal, say 4 or 5%. Well, that's really kind of dangerous nowadays, and it's actually become written about a lot that that's way too high. Your withdrawal rate's really got to be more in the 3-4 range to be safe enough to get you through tough times. But they're just going to accumulate money, take a withdrawal, and hope for the best. But if you're withdrawing in a down market, that's a serious concern.
Yeah, that's the big issue. If, in fact, you withdraw in a down market, our technical name for that is reverse dollar cost averaging. In dollar cost averaging, you're putting money into the market on the same amount of money on a regular basis. But reverse dollar cost averaging is where you're taking money out of the market on a regular basis. And when you're taking money out, if in fact that market starts down or goes sideways, you're going to deplete your principal.
Right.
And that's the issue that faces most Americans. What do I do? Do I have enough money to get through retirement? What if I live 30 years? What if my wife is probably healthier than I might say. Mm-hmm. What if she lives 35 years? What have you done to guarantee an income for yourself and your spouse that will last guaranteed as long as you do? And by the way, the amount of money that's paid out from these insurance companies is not some like 2%. It is a number that's going to be like 4, 5, 6%.
It's significant.
Yeah. That will be paid to you for your lifetime. And I believe that this is what really separates and makes Jalbert a special place to be. Rather than have all your money lumped together in a big ball, mm-hmm. in which you're going to say, let's take an income from some and some will grow, we're going to say, no. The task of what your money should do will dictate where you put it.
Yep.
The task of what your money is called to do will dictate where to put it.
I was just going to say, I really like the analogy that you use sometimes with the chemist. Because we talk about a chemist has access to all these elements. All chemists have access to the 118 elements that exist, and they're all there. Well, you know, as financial advisors and planners, we have access, all of us, to different products and techniques, but it's the chemist itself or the planner itself, in our case, how they structure that plan that actually is the differentiator.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. If, in fact, I go to a brokerage firm and say, look, I don't want to lose any money. We hear that all the time, Joe, every week. I don't want to lose any money. You need to have somebody that says, I have a vehicle in which your principal is guaranteed. It cannot go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And if, in fact, you want to have a rider on it, which normally is going to cost about, a quarter to 1%, that'll guarantee you income for life, which is a pretty strong guarantee.
It is.
That's what we would do. I'm just looking at the clock, and I see that we're heading out of time. The things that we've talked about today have been your questions, but we didn't really get to all of them, but we did talk about what are the areas that I can put money as I enter retirement, the bank, the insurance industry, or the brokerage industry, and we gave you answers there. We talked about our stress test, that so important test that can tell you, what if 2008, for example, happened again? What would it do to your portfolio? We've talked with David Littman, who has forecasts that are not very positive. So lots have been carried on here. I guess we're going to end by saying, Joe, do you have any words?
Be safe.
And stay safe, everybody. And by that, we mean your money. At Jalbert, we're always working to earn your trust.
Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information has been obtained from sources deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy or completeness cannot be guaranteed. Neither Russ Jalbert or Patrick Kelly and Joseph Waltenbaugh are liable for usage of information discussed. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and the claims-paying ability of the issuing company and may be subject to restrictions, limitations, or early withdrawal fees. Annuities are not FDIC insured. Individuals should thoroughly review the contract for the specific features of the product and costs. Income payments and withdrawals from deferred annuities are generally taxable as ordinary income in the year they're taken. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.